Listen up, athletes. The primary thesis of this guide is straightforward. Exertional heat stroke is entirely preventable and highly survivable when you recognize those critical warning signs early and initiate immediate cooling. And you need to respect the data here. With heat-related illnesses causing approximately 695 deaths annually in the United States, and ranking as the third leading cause of death among athletes, understanding your physiological boundaries and emergency protocols is absolutely essential, especially in high-humidity environments like Houston. So, let's break down the critical distinction between heat exhaustion and exertional heat stroke. It hinges on two factors: core body temperature and central nervous system function. Heat exhaustion typically occurs when your core temperature ranges between 101 degrees F and 104 degrees F. During this stage, your body's cooling mechanisms are still firing on all cylinders. You'll see heavy sweating and cold, clammy skin. Mental awareness is generally preserved, though you might experience brief confusion, dizziness, nausea, muscle cramping, and a fast but weak pulse. But here, S the warning. If left untreated in a cool environment for over 30 minutes, or if that core temperature crosses the 104 degrees F threshold, the condition can rapidly escalate to exertional heat stroke. That's a life-threatening emergency, where the body's thermoregulatory system completely fails. Core temperatures can exceed 104 degrees F and rapidly climb to 106 degrees F or higher within minutes, triggering systemic inflammation and serious organ damage. The definitive marker of heat stroke is persistent neurological dysfunction. We're talking delirium, slurred speech, seizures, loss of coordination, or even coma. Notably, sweating may or may not be present at this stage, and the pulse becomes rapid and strong. Between 10% and 28% of heat stroke, survivors experience lasting neurological damage, which is why rapid intervention is non-negotiable. That's why prevention relies heavily on structured heat acclimatization. Done right, it can reduce your risk of heat illness by up to 75%. Proper acclimatization requires 7 to 14 days of gradual exposure. Start at 20% of your normal training duration and increase by no more than 20% daily. Now, experienced athletes returning from a break can accelerate this timeline, reaching full intensity within 4 days. But those daily sessions must last at least 90 minutes and combine cardiovascular exercise with heat exposure. That's what triggers the physiological adaptations we want: improved sweating efficiency and stabilized circulation. Hydration strategies should be tailored to your event duration. Drink to thirst, consume 500 to 1,000 milliliters per hour depending on heat intensity, and prioritize sodium intake of 300 to 700 milligrams per 16 ounces. You can also leverage pre-cooling techniques. Ice slurry ingestion or cold water immersion before training can increase heat capacity and improve time trial performance by approximately 5.7%. Just exercise caution for events lasting longer than 40 minutes. And let's talk scheduling. Align your training with wet bulb globe temperature guidelines. Shift intense sessions to cooler morning or evening hours, and utilize indoor alternatives when environmental stress peaks. But when heat stroke occurs, speed is the only variable that matters. Immediate ice water immersion at 1 to 5 degrees C is the gold standard for treatment. It lowers core temperature at a rate of 0.13 degrees C per minute. Athletes or coaches should submerge the body, except the head, in an ice bath until the rectal temperature drops to 38.6 degrees C. Or, if a thermometer is unavailable, keep them in there for a maximum of 15 to 20 minutes. If immersion is impossible, switch to evaporative cooling. Combine it with ice packs applied to the neck, armpits, groin, and behind the knees. That can reduce temperature at 0.05 degrees C per minute. Emergency services must be called immediately for any collapse involving confusion, seizures, inability to drink, or a core temperature of 104 degrees F or higher. And a critical rule, fever-reducing medications like acetaminophen should never be used. They do not address the underlying thermoregulatory failure and may actually worsen organ damage. Recovery timelines differ significantly between the two conditions. Heat exhaustion typically requires 24 to 48 hours of rest. Exertional heat stroke mandates a 7 to 21 day recovery period. You need physician clearance and normal kidney and liver function tests before resuming activity. Return to training protocols must be gradual. Progress from light exercise in cool conditions to strenuous activity in heat, all under professional monitoring. And exercise must stop immediately if core temperature exceeds 39.5 degrees C or if symptoms reappear. So, here are your critical takeaways. Recognize that the 104 degrees F threshold and neurological changes define a life-threatening emergency. Prioritize a 7 to 14 day acclimatization period before intense summer training. Hydrate strategically with adequate sodium. And always have an ice water immersion setup ready at your training sites. Ultimately, exertional heat stroke carries a 100% survival rate when cooling begins within 10 minutes of collapse. Preparation, vigilance, and immediate action transform a potentially fatal event into a manageable training challenge. Now, let's get out there and train smart.